And welcome to this week's Look at Linux.
I'm Matt Campbell.
This week, I thought I'd start talking about how files and directories work under Linux, including how they're organized, the different types of files, file ownership, and access permissions. I'll also demonstrate some basic file management tools available from the command line under Linux, though I'm not sure that I'll be doing that this week. I'll start off by talking about how files and directories are organized under Linux. If you're familiar with DOS or Windows, as you probably are, then you're probably familiar with the system of drive letters, which are used to identify disk drives and shared file areas that are available over the network under DOS and Windows. Well, that's not how it works under Linux, or Unix in general. Under Linux, you have one directory structure, which starts at the root directory, denoted by a slash. There is a main file system, which is located at the root of this directory structure, and it is usually on your hard drive. Other file systems, such as DOS or Windows partitions, and file systems which are available on the network, can be mounted at any location in this directory structure. So, for example, you might set your system up so that you can access your CD-ROM drive from the slash CD-ROM directory, or you can access the floppy drive from the slash floppy directory. This gives you more flexibility in how your file system is organized than you have with the system of drive letters under DOS and Windows, and it gives you a more unified directory structure. There are several important directories which exist on every Linux system which are worth knowing about. One of these is the slash etc directory, where all system-wide configuration files are stored. Other subdirectories of the root directory include slash bin, where some very basic programs and utilities are stored, slash boot, where the operating system kernel and other related files are stored, slash tmp, where temporary files are stored, slash sbin, where certain basic system administration utilities are located, and slash mnt, where you can mount other file systems. Or Aura, I should say, it's a common place where you can mount other file systems. Of course, you can mount a file system anywhere you want to within the directory structure, but slash mnt is one particularly common place to do that. Under the Debian distribution, there's also a slash floppy directory and a slash CD-ROM directory, which I mentioned earlier. Red Hat and Slackware, another distribution, might organize things a bit differently. A particularly important directory is slash USR, where most of the programs that you'll be running, along with their documentation and other data files, are stored. USR is short for user, and one way to think of it is that this is where the user-level programs, the most interesting ones, are located. There's also a directory called slash var, where some system data files and log files are located. The USR directory has several subdirectories of its own. Probably the most important one is slash USR slash bin, where most of the actual program executables or binaries are stored. There's also /usr/sbin, where several system administration utilities are located, /usr/share, where all kinds of data files are stored, /usr/lib, where common library files used by several programs are located. The /usr/share directory has a few subdirectories of its own worth mentioning. Probably the most important one is /usr/share/doc, where you can find a lot of documentation in text and HTML formats. And we'll probably do a separate look at Linux all about documentation that's available for Linux, with an emphasis on what you can find on a Debian system. Some documentation from older packages is stored in /usr/doc as well. Another important subdirectory directly under the root of the file system is /home. This is where the home directories of individual users on the system are stored. And your home directory contains all of your personal files and configuration files that are specifically for your use, as opposed to system-wide configuration files which apply to everyone on the system. Well, I think I've hit the highlights in the directory structure of the system. There are, of course, some other less important directories on the system, and those may come up in future tutorials as I think of them. Now I'm going to talk about a few different types of files on the system. There are, of course, regular files which can contain any kind of data at all, and they don't necessarily have to have a file extension. For example, program files under Linux don't have an extension, unlike program files under DOS or Windows, which have an extension of .exe. There are also device files located mostly under the /dev directory. I'm sorry, I missed that one. Device files are a special kind of directory entry which can be used to access hardware on the system. And we've seen those before, particularly during the installation and the configuration of Lillo, the bootloader. Another interesting file type is the symbolic link, which is basically a pointer to another file. Usually, when a program accesses a file that is a symbolic link, the operating system sort of redirects it to the file that the symbolic link is pointing to. This can be used for several purposes. For example, to assign aliases to commands. For example, on traditional Unix systems, the C compiler is called CC. However, under Linux, the C compiler is GCC. So a symbolic link is used to create an alias called CC for the compiler. So under the /usr/bin directory, there's a file called CC, which is actually a symbolic link to GCC. Symbolic links are also used under Debian to indicate what version of the kernel is currently being used. The kernel, the operating system kernel itself, is stored under the /boot directory, as I mentioned earlier. And in that directory, the kernel has a file name that includes its version number, so that you can have more than one kernel on your system at one time. For example, we're currently running kernel version 2.2.18 pre-21, which is actually a pre-release version of kernel 2.2.18. So the file name in the slash boot directory contains that version number. There is also a file in the root directory of the system, which has the same file name, regardless of what version of the kernel you're using. And this file is a symbolic link to the actual kernel image that you're using at the moment. So, symbolic links are quite important on a Unix system. One of the features of Unix that makes it unique in comparison to DOS and Windows is the concept of file ownership and access permissions. Actually, I think Windows NT has these features as well, but most Windows programs aren't designed to use them, and I'd say that at least on most Windows NT workstations, these features are pretty much ignored. Every file is owned by a specific user, and that user usually has permission to read the file, write to the file, or do anything else they want to with it. The file is also owned by a group, which may contain any number of users, including none at all. This allows the owner of the file, or the system administrator, to set up certain access permissions that apply to all users within that group. There are also a set of access permissions that apply to anyone who is not the owner of the file and not a member of the group which owns the file. There are three kinds of access which can be given to a specific user or group. The owner or the system administrator can give permission to read the file, write to the file, and or run the file, or execute the file. These permissions are given letters, R, W, and X. And they can be given independently to the owner of the file, the group that owns the file, and everybody else. I'm going to illustrate how this works with a practical example. At the company where I work, my paying job, we used to use a system where all of our program source code files were owned by their original authors, and they were also owned by a specific group that to which all of the programmers belonged. The authors of the source files, of course, had permission to do anything they wanted with them. Read them, write them, delete them, whatever. The members of the group which owned these files could also read and write to the files. This allowed multiple developers to work together on the same piece of source code. And if I remember right, people who had an account on the Unix system that we were using but were not in the developers group could read the file but couldn't do anything else. Also, on the SpeakUp web server, there is a group called SpeakUp, to which the author of SpeakUp and some others, including myself, belong. And everyone in that group has permission to read and also modify the files on the web server, as long as the owners of the files give these files the right permissions. Now that I've gone over some of these concepts, I'm going to start demonstrating some file management utilities that are available under Linux and, in fact, Unix in general. I'm going to start with the ls command, which you use to look at a certain group of files that you specify. Most commonly, you use it to look at the files in your current directory. In its simplest form, this command consists of simply the program name, ls. So, I'm going to type that and press enter.
$.
There was only one entry that was listed in the result, and that is mail, which happens to be a directory. Note that there are some files which are hidden when you run ls in the normal way. The file names of these files all begin with a dot, and these files are most commonly configuration files or other files used internally by various programs that are stored in the user's home directory. They could also be directories as well. If you want to look at these files as well when you run the ls command, then you need to use the -a option. But before we do this, I need to turn on all punctuation in SpeakUp. And this will involve showing you a little about how the new configuration system in SpeakUp 0.10 works. Before I can change anything in the SpeakUp configuration, I need to switch to the root user using the su command. So I'll do that now.
Su. Password. Matcap. /home/matcap.
And now, as a brief review, the punctuation levels in SpeakUp are numbered from 0 to 3, with 0 being none, 1 being some, the default, 2 being most, and 3 being all. So, to change the punctuation level to 3, I need to write a 3 to a sort of fake file, which is created by the kernel. Another important directory on a Linux system, which I forgot to mention, is the /proc directory, /proc. This whole directory is a sort of fake file system, which is created by the kernel during the boot process for the purpose of letting applications communicate with the kernel and get various information about the running system. SpeakUp makes use of the proc file system in its latest version for the purpose of configuration. So, to change the punctuation level, I need to write the number 3 to the file /proc/speakup/punk_level, with punk spelled P-U-N-C. So to do this, I type
/proc/speakup/punk_level. /home/number.
Okay, that's done. And I realize it's not very user-friendly, so more user-friendly SpeakUp configuration utilities, which use the proc file system under the hood, may be written in the future. Now I'm going to get out of the root account and back to my user account by typing exit and pressing enter. And now I can look at a full directory listing, including hidden files, by typing
/k.\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\\
The first entry in the directory listing is ., which refers to the current directory. The entry after that is .., which refers to the previous directory. And then the next file name after that began with a ., as well, since it's a hidden file. Now, you may want to review the screen more carefully to get the most out of that directory listing. And a particularly convenient way to do this is using the commands to read a word at a time. And now that I think about it, if you do it this way, then you don't need to have all punctuation turned on, because the speakup commands for reading a word at a time always read with punctuation turned on. And if you want more details about how to use these commands, then you can listen to a much earlier Look at Linux, in which I described the speakup screen review commands and demonstrated them. Now, there's another option that we can include on the ls command line, which will show some more information about the file that we're looking at in the form of a single character after the file name. These characters include slash, which indicates that the file is a directory, the at sign, which indicates that it's a symbolic link, and the asterisk or star, which indicates that a certain file is executable. We can combine the capital F option with the A option that we used earlier, like this.
Help, press, space, dash, A, cut. Dot slash top dot slash dot bash line logout dot bash line profile dot password dot fetch mail slash matcap at matcap colon tilde dollars.
And this time around, we heard the slash after each of the directory names. There is one more option, one more useful option that you can pass to ls, and that is the dash l option, l standing for long. And this option will cause ls to output in a much more verbose format, which gives you much more information about the directory, about the files in the directory listing that you're looking at. To show you how this works, I'm going to combine the L option with the F option, capital F that is, to produce a complete listing of my home directory. I'll also include the dash A option to make sure the hidden files are in there as well.
L-S space dash A.
Here goes.
Total 28 drwxr-sr-x3-matcap-matcap-4096-f1814-13.slash-drwxr-wsr-x3-root-step.
And there's quite a bit of information on each line of output. I'm going to go through the format of this line in detail using the speakup screen review commands, and using the last line of the listing as an example. So first I'm going to move the reading cursor up a line.
DRWT.
And I moved the reading cursor to the beginning of the line as well. The first character, as we heard, is a D, a lowercase d, which indicates that the file is a directory. The next three characters indicate the access permissions for the owner of the file. So let's take a look at those.
Two.
Oops, I pressed the wrong key on the keypad. So let's go back to the previous word.
DRWX-S-S-S-S-S.
Let's review that a character at a time.
D.
We have the D character, which I already explained. I'll go forward.
R.
This means that the owner of the file can read the file. I can't think of any time when you will not want to have this one turned on.
W.
The owner of the file can write to it.
X.
For a regular file, this means that the file is executable. For a directory, this means that you can change to the directory and take a look at what's inside.
Gotcha.
This implies that not even other users in the same group that owns this file can look at it. And if we keep going forward, I believe we'll find that the rest of the permissions are turned off as well.
Gotcha. Yes.
To be honest, I'm not sure what that one means.
Gotcha. Space.
So, only the owner of this directory can do anything with it. And this is important since this directory contains mail folders and you will probably want it to be private. Now I'll go to the next word with the 6 key.
Two.
To be honest, I'm not sure what that means. I'll have to do a little research on that and perhaps come back with more information later.
Backup.
This is the owner of the file, which is me.
Backup.
This is the group that owns the file. And under Debian, each user has their own group. And I'm not sure why they did it that way. So I'll have to do some research on that one as well.
4096.
This is the size of the file in bytes.
Yep.
This is the abbreviation of the month when the file was last modified.
18.
That's the date.
14:4.
And that's the time of day. For files that are much older, that were modified, say, more than a year ago, then the year of the last modification is provided instead of the time of day.
Mail slash.
And there's the file name, including the slash, since we included the capital F option on the ls command line. So that gives you an idea of what a full-blown directory listing in ls looks like.
And Matt Campbell will continue to look at directories in Linux next week.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
But it's time for us to log off for another week. On behalf of all the Main Menu team, I'm Jonathan Mosen saying thank you for tuning in. Join us again next week. Bye for now.